In this episode, we're going to be covering narcissism, the traits that they have, how they use them, how they form, the difference between male and female, all that good stuff, and how we can actually give them treatment, because there isn't actually a cure for narcissism. Welcome to Psychology Pointer, the show that gives you tips and tricks on how you can use psychology to help yourself and the people around you. So let's cover what narcissism is. Well, what narcissism is an extreme admiration of oneself or appearance, and this can take various forms. Now, there is a diagnosis of narcissism, which is commonly known as narcissistic personality disorder. Some of these traits do overlap with narcissism, but remember, if you're not completely diagnosed with it, you do not have it. Doesn't matter if he or she, you think she has it or not. If they're not diagnosed, and you know they're not diagnosed, these are just examples of what they can be like. So that's what narcissism is. An extreme admiration of oneself or appearance. And this can take many forms, like I said before. So let's hop into the 8 common traits of narcissism. So here are 8 common traits of narcissism. Perfectionism. Narcissistic people think that they're perfect and there's nothing wrong with them, and they create this perfect illusion of their own world that they're the best and nobody can be better than them. And this can take in many forms as well, such as they're the smartest, they're the best at soccer or sport, they're the most beautiful, they think they're the strongest one in the group, they think they have the most powerful. Powerful professionalism is like being too perfect to the point where you're not perfect. Sounds ironic, it kind of is, but stick with me with this. So they create this perfect illusion of their own world, which they think I'm perfect, and nobody can beat my perfection, my perfectness world. So they basically create a perfect world within them that creates them as being perfect. Lack of responsibility. The lack of responsibility that narcissists don't take, so they don't take responsibility for what they cause. In fact, they end up blaming other people for their own mistakes, actions, or misfortunes. And they take that responsibility and throw it to someone else when things don't go their own way. But when things go their own way and they get the best outcome, even though someone actually helped them with it, or they got support or handicap, whatever you call it, they are the star all of a sudden. But when things turn south and they have to accept responsibility over their mistakes and actions that they cause, they blame the shift to someone else. Lack of empathy. Now, this is the one that very heavy on narcissism, and there's many diagnoses in the DSM-5 that has many lacks of empathy. Psychopaths are one of them, but narcissistic personality disorder is also one of them. So they have a lack of empathy, so they don't really care about people. They just are in there for their own gains, and they don't really feel emotions like empathy, sympathy, or careness to other people. They just are there. Like I said before, they create this own world where they're perfect and nobody else can be just like them or perfect other than themselves. Which, in that case, they don't really lack empathy. So, in other words, they can never really be emotionally connected to other people's pains. So, if they see a homeless person there, they're not going to care. If one of their friends gets hurt, they're not going to care. They might act like they care, but they're doing it to get a reward out of it. And that brings us very nicely to our third option, or our fourth option. Controlling. Narcissistic people, or the narcissist, is very manipulated towards other people. They use very sneaky tricks, to get people to do what they want. This can be from simple tricks of getting water, maybe helping someone out for a bigger reward, or even to actually get them to do some messed up things without actually them, without the actual victim knowing. So they can use very different tactics, such as gaslighting, blackmail, emotional manipulation, many different kinds. Now, depending on who the narcissist is controlling, that varies on the situation. Mostly, if we put like a partner or a romantic person, a lot of times they'll take a lot of control over them compared to a basic friend that they met over 3 days ago. But overall, they're very controlling over their people. Some people may see this, some people might not. Some people may think it's off, but they don't really know. So it's about how you know it. And yeah, there are different levels of how narcissists control people, but I don't really have the notes to actually cover that. So we're going to move on to our next option, which is number 5. Entitlement. Narcissists think that they demand a lot of things. So they usually are, they want attention. They think they deserve this, even though they really don't. So let's give an example. If this is more of a very example, they want a raise, and one of their friends gets a raise, and they go to their boss and say, "I deserve this raise because I do this and this." And they're going to continue repeating that until they get that raise, which is really strange because they don't really deserve it. And narcissists will crawl their way up to that entitlement, whether that be through peer pressure or through manipulation, like we covered already, or to gain their own access, or whatever you want to call it. They will find a way to get what they want and how they want it. And that's where we fit into entitlement. Now, this one's a very big section, because entitlement doesn't necessarily mean that you may be entitled to something, but narcissism take that into another new level. Like, you may be entitled or you may deserve that raise, but no, they're going to go the extra mile and they want a raise with, they want that raise with extra power. So they want to have more control of the company, even though that raise doesn't really require that, or that promotion, whatever you want to call it. And now that brings us to our next section, which is admiration. Narcissism admire themselves quite a lot, like I covered at the beginning. They're very entitled to taking selfies, looking at themselves, trying to seem more powerful than the average person. In fact, they actually do that quite often, mostly. And this is a very common trait with them. They're very, very me. And look at me, sounds more like entitlement, but admiration is basically look at yourself in the, think it like this. Look at yourself in the mirror. They do it more often than the regular person, which sounds kind of amazing. Don't know how people can look at themselves for that long period of time, but they see themselves as a golden ticket. Simple as that. They're shinier, better, and try to shine brighter than everybody else, even though they're probably the same, if not even worse than the other person. And they admire themselves for that. Envy. Now, this one's a very big one. Narcissists tend to envy others. This can be power, wealth, looks, and many other things. So let's say that he gets a car. One of their friends gets a nice new car. He envies that new car. So he will try to get himself that same model of car. And he envies him. Usually, this ends up with going into a cycle. So some of these traits do overlap. So such envies can go to control, and control can go into professionalism, and professionalism can go into entitlement, and entitlement can go into admiration. So it can go back and forth. And they have an extreme envious of other people. If they're not on the stage, they have an envious, they're envious about that person that's on the stage. If they don't have that shiny new object, they envy that person for having that new shiny object. So let's move on to the next thing. You actually already understand envious. Now, we're moving on to attitude. Now, this is a little bit hard to pinpoint because narcissist attitudes reflect the current situation. And sometimes it is normal to act in that current situation. But the key factor is how long will it take until they become controlling or manipulated it to their advantage. Now, this can take many forms as well, but it's all about time and patience with the narcissism. They wait for the perfect time to strike, attack, whatever you call it, to take over. And this can take many different forms, like I keep repeating the same thing. So they try to like take control over a few areas of things. Their attitudes may change to nice and polite to aggressive and controlling over a long period of time. And it happens when they actually get, and it happens a lot more into relationships than a regular person or a regular friend, because they're more controlling of their girlfriend slash partner slash boyfriend, because they want to keep them tight and control them. And once they're already in, it's already harder to leave. That's why a lot of girls stay in abusive relationships. In fact, that's actually why a lot of people stay in an abusive relationship, because once they're already in, they think, oh, they will change, or he actually loves me, or all those kinds of things can happen, which I'm gonna say, if he treats you bad or if she treats you bad, there's no reason for you to stay with them. Oh, but I'm doing it for the money. Oh, he loves me, or he's just doing it because he wants me to do a so and so. No. You leave that situation. The longer you stay, the more deeper you fall into the hole. Don't keep going down the hole. You want to get out of the hole. Now, can a narcissism change? Yes, but we're going to cover that at the end. Now, let's move on to our next part, which is there actually are two different types of narcissism: grandiose and vulnerable narcissism. Grandiose is more of the attention seeking, the approval seeking, and the outgoing. They love the attention, and they're mostly called the spotlight narcissism, which they like the spotlight, and they like the attention coming in. They love it, which is why they're called grandiose. They think they're great, and they're grandiose, and they deserve everything. Now, vulnerability narcissism, I don't know how to say that word, are more of a shy type. They keep to themselves, and they try to. They're more introverted compared to the other counterpart. Now, their narcissism still shines, but it comes out through jealousy and through close friends. So basically, they don't really show it too much, but they're still narcissistic. So a lot of times they'll be like. Look at me, I got 5 stars compared to you, or they'll feel envious to another person and try to manipulate them in a weird way without actually being the spotlight. So that's where vulnerable narcissism is. That's where vulnerable narcissism plays in. Not really much to cover there besides that. Now let's move on to the gender section. And this is where I ask the question. Is there a difference between male and female narcissism? Well, there is, and there's actually quite a few between male and female. Now, I gotta say this. Narcissism is more common in males than females. That is a fact that I just found. It is more common for males to have narcissistic personality disorder than females. Now, females can still have it. It is more common in male. Now, let's cover the male section of narcissism. Now, narcissistic in males is more about power and dominating compared to females. And male narcissism are over-controlling over their partners. So, they're very more of a, I'm tough and I'm controllive, or I have this and this. So, they're more about having objects and persuading their masculinity to the world compared to female or whatever you call it. So they're more into like projecting what they have earned or what they have or how they use it or what kind of power they have. Not really much to say there. We can cover a little bit more into the aspect of the female. Now, women are more about their looks and how pretty they are or how sexy they are depending on who the female is. Now, female narcissists are more common to cheat, divorce, or break up with their partners just because they can do it and they want to do it. Now, they can still be manipulated to the male partners, such as being sexy to get reward over money, or somehow even. So they can be narcissistic in some other ways, such as emotional manipulation towards men. So using their sexual bodies to lure men in. Which is actually kind of hard to pinpoint that, because a lot of females already do that. It's mostly finding females that do it more often than the average gal. Now, the goal is the same between male and female, is to get control over a certain person to get a beneficial gain out of it. So, even though the execution is different, the goal is the same between male and female. Now, it's hard to actually pinpoint in women, because they're a lot more silent when it comes to their narcissism. Now, males are more aggressive and they show it more often than women. And that's why it's not really very common to see it in women. That is a fact. Overall, both of them have the same gains. And there's not really much to say here besides women have a different way of viewing the world, and men have a different way of viewing the world when they are narcissistic. And that brings us to our final area. What causes narcissism? Well, nobody really knows what actually causes narcissism. Some researchers have some great advice on what could cause it, but these are just theories and they're not really actually right or wrong. They're just mostly links that they have that they can use them, and I'm going to provide those links right now. Childhood. A lot of researchers think that narcissism can form from parenting styles such as neglectful or overprotective. And some people can even go the extra mile and think it's linked to abuse and family problems and basically anything that has to go through childhood. So they might not have a good childhood. Their parents never gave them freedom to do anything. In fact, they had to learn narcissistic traits early and sort of manipulate their parents to get their parents to do what they want. And now when it comes to neglectful, they had to sort of like they weren't involved with their parents at all. They were left alone, untaken care of. They weren't really taken care of, so they sort of formed this narcissistic trait. And the other option that we have is genetic, which at this point, genetics can be involved into anything, and it's kind of hard to actually pinpoint that. But some researchers think that there could be a link between genetic and narcissism, which I wouldn't be surprised if there is. There's probably a gene for everything that functions in the human body, and some genes interact with one another in complex ways that I don't even know how to even describe it. So, yeah, narcissism can also be embedded into genetics. And I have a third option, and this is mostly my opinion. And I believe narcissism could be learned, because a lot of these traits are how to manipulate people to get what they want, how to be a good liar, how to stay calm in strange and difficult situations, such as you don't get what you want at the beginning, but you wait for the bigger reward. So, sounds kind of out there, sounds kind of strange, but I believe it can actually be learned. And that's where it brings us to our final area. And that is there a cure for it? Now, I don't think there is a cure. In fact, there isn't really a cure for it at all, for narcissism. But there is treatment. And that's all they can do with narcissism, because there isn't really a magical pill or a syringe or a drug that you can take that will remove narcissism off that person. In fact, there's just treatment, and therefore the narcissist must choose to go to that treatment, and must be willing to be honest and truthful, and be willing to work with the therapist to solve his narcissistic problems. Now, if they're already narcissistic, I kind of already doubt that that's gonna work, because again, they lie, they're manipulative, and they see the world very different compared to a regular person. Now, I'm not saying they can't change. I'm saying that it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to change. Therefore, if they even want to change. And I'm letting that up to you to figure out if you think they're going to change, if you think they're not going to change. Which, again, that is basically... it's basically an action that a narcissist takes. Now, whether that be taking the action to going through therapy or not, and there's also another avenue of whether the therapy worked or not. So the narcissist can still go to therapy and do all that. That doesn't mean they're not going to be narcissistic after the therapy. That just means they went through the therapy and may or may not work. So, I already have a video about why people should go for therapy. I already have an episode planned for why people should have therapy. So, stay tuned for that one. But, that's it. So, those are narcissistic traits that you may want to know. And see you on the next episode.